וברוכים הבאים לפודקאסט מספר
104.
105. כל היה 104 כשישנת.
אוקיי.
105 מדברסית פלטפורמה, and this time we're gonna switch to English for Shira, our guest.
And I'm apologizing now for you having to break your ears and listen to English instead of Hebrew.
Okay, we hope you're gonna make it first.
And yeah, we assume our listeners are familiar with the language.
Well,
it's not C++, but yeah. So Shira, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, Shira Abel. I do marketing. I have an agency. Right now the agency is called Abel Communications, but God willing, very soon it will be called Hunter and Bard. We need to get a logo and everything put together.
Oh.
And yeah, so after the rebranding happens, we will be Hunter and Bard.
Okay.
Hunter and Bard, does that mean anything?
Yes. Okay, so what is Hunter and Bard? Hunter is hunting for sales and leads and market. And Bard means poet, writing. We do our strength is relationship marketing. So Hunter and Bard, we hunt through our words.
Oh. So actually, I used to work with someone in the U.S. who was called Hunter Walk. Hunter was his first name.
Yeah, I also like the fact that it sounds like a 100-year-old scotch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're here to talk about, how shall we call it?
Marketing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you had a fancy name for that.
It's just marketing. Marketing comes under a lot of different areas. You've got PR, you've got advertising. Then, of course, you've got everything that's internet and online related. You've got SEM, SEO, social media, marcom, event. I mean, marketing is a very wide range.
I must raise the flag of content marketing.
Yes.
Which is...
content.
The Bard side.
Yes, exactly, the Bard side. So it's any place that touches the customer is in some way marketing. And all of it, either push or pull marketing, is involved in getting your product known. If nobody knows your product exists, it doesn't really matter how good it is.
So it's like the tree falling in a wood, in a deserted wood.
Yes, does anybody care if it falls when nobody's around?
If a web server crashes in the dark, it's really crash.
It usually is. It crashes in the dark.
At least somewhere in the world. So that's what you do with your agency. And
yeah.
I mean, what is that? What kind of marketing? What kind of companies? What do we need to learn?
Okay, so one of the companies that I work with is AppsGeyser. And AppsGeyser is a platform for making an app for Android. And it runs the gamut. It's for anyone who wants to make an app for Android. So if you're a coder, we've got the open API for you to be able to use and create a great app. If you know three lines of HTML, we have a simple tool for you to use in order to get something online within 2 minutes. Really nice, really easy. They're a client. What do we do for them? So they have thousands, 20, 30,000 more people who have made apps through their platform. How are they going to reach them? What are they going to say to them? This is a community. How do they help them? So, you know, all of these people are making apps. Why don't we help them market their apps? Why don't we teach them how to make a better app? How to market the app? How to... all of these...
So you mean the users of that product?
We give benefits to the customer. And whatever the customer needs that's a benefit to them is what we end up providing
right.
in order to...
So in this case, it's not... directly to that company, but it's for the users of the product.
Think of the users of the company, because ultimately that's what's going to build the loyalty and raise the cost of change.
So,
changing.
Can we say that the marketing is the part of the organization that is between the organization and the customers?
In a large way, especially today, yeah.
So it works both ways. The one way is to reach out for customers and find them and get them to know the product, okay,
yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah.
And the other direction is to get what the customer needs back to the company in order to improve the product.
Isn't that product management? I mean, the other way around? I mean, from the customer to the...
I think in some organizations, product management is like... marketing is bringing the voice from the...
marketing is external. But the thing is... Product, yeah.
But getting... Okay, yes, I'm going to... But hold on 2 seconds. Sorry to interrupt. But you two started in, and I just had to...
Yeah, you're here to answer the question. You're here to fulfill that.
Here's the thing that keeps happening today. Because of social media, and because now there's such a conversation and a dialogue with the customer, you're building the blog. People are writing comments. You've got the Facebook page. People are writing comments. You're on Twitter. People are asking questions. Now, there is such a dialogue between marketing and the customer that it ends up going back to the product marketer, mm-hmm. because they're saying, right. We need this. Why aren't you doing this? I want this. Could you make this?
Right. So you find yourself actually doing products and not just marketing.
You end up giving the information, passing the information
passing
along,
the
and then, you know, following through to make sure that the needs that are being requested actually happen, especially if it happens in bulk or in mass. Like, I can tell you an example with Waze. I don't work with them, I use them. And maybe they were already planning it, I don't know. But I wrote to them, it would be really, really cool if I could see how much time I'm saving when I take one of those weird-ass side trips down a lane. Because, you know, you wonder, you're going, okay, is this really saving me time? How do I know it's saving me time? So one time I did it, and then afterwards it said, you just saved 4 minutes. And I went, that's awesome! Because, you know, I asked for that, and there it is, and that's fantastic. So...
Yeah, I mean, many times, I mean, I can say that, you know, we develop a product, we develop a feature, and we know it's great, we just don't know how to show it. And, you know, that's a weakness that I can, you know, I can testify for myself, but I think many developers, you know, are sick in the same way.
I think one of the illness of developers is that they develop features that just because they can.
Right.
Not because the market really...
So that's where marketing and development have to work together, because the marketer understands what the market wants, what the customer needs. And if the marketing team is working well with R&D and can explain, this is why I need this, and here's the requests, and here's the desire, and this is the end result I need, and then leave it to R&D to develop it however it needs to be done, then you have something that's going to turn out to be fantastic for the customer.
By the way, in some organizations, product management is part of marketing, not part of the development organization.
How does this work in Auburn, by the way?
Product is independent.
And we have one... Two.
In marketing.
But right. Most of Outbrain marketing is more along the lines of sales.
Yeah,
it's not a B2C
currently.
It's not a B2C, it's a B2B. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's an enterprise level B2B.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same thing at all. You're going
it
at
isn't,
a,
no, it
it's
isn't.
A much different way of marketing a product. You have to think very specifically about what a huge enterprise would need as opposed to an individual consumer. The scale of everything is different.
Yeah, but
because
it's
the relationships, it's more based on relationships.
I don't know. I think it's both. I mean, because, I mean, yes, the sales are for to enterprises, but the users are the public. I mean,
yeah.
So you have to keep them in mind all the time.
You have to keep them in mind all the time. But
they're the... You know, the generators.
And you watch what they're doing. But in this case, actually, you have two markets. But you don't necessarily have to market yourself to the end user. You
yes.
just simply have to make sure
That's
they're
correct.
Happy. Mm-hmm. And that you're giving them the benefit
That's correct.
That
yes.
they need.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But regarding payers, that's a thing that, you know, it can change over time. So nothing is...
Yeah.
So do you work exclusively with high-tech companies, or do you do other kind of marketing?
I, for the most part, work exclusively with high-tech companies.
And
because
specifically social media, or...?
Well, no. What I consider relationship marketing, so that's everything that's opt-in. The newsletter, the website, case studies, white papers, blog, then everything also that's social, everything that's written. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to claim to be a graphic artist, and I'm not going to...
Or a video producer.
Or something else. I work with people who do these things and who are specialists at them, mm-hmm. and I let them do their job. But the writing, all of the core, the messaging, mm-hmm. That is all under my realm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how often does this happen, or does it happen at all, that you feel kind of constrained by technology, or constrained by how to speak to other developers or users or such?
For example, speaking to developers, I don't think that I have a problem there. And I actually really like tech and mm-hmm. events and everything that goes along with it. It's a realm I'm very comfortable in, so that's not really so much of an issue. I know others who aren't as comfortable in the technology realm and who get nervous from technology, and that's usually where you've got the disconnect mm-hmm. between. But I mean,
I'll tell you why I asked, because I'm thinking this app platform that, mm-hmm. that you've mentioned. I mean, you would probably need to know what is an app, what does it take for an app to get to the App Store, what kind of benefits can the user get from that kind of product, etc. I mean, have you developed an app for Android, or have you learned this subject? So,
the woman who handles the account has developed an app for Android. I have people who work with me. I'm running mm-hmm. the agency.
Right.
So how it works, at least with me, is I come up with the strategy and the tactics and what should be implemented, and then I hire people specifically for each account. And Leia, who's handling the AppsGeyser account, has created an app, and I've already actually worked with a lot of other companies who have created an app, but with AppsGeyser it's a really simple platform, so she could do it, I could do it if I were to actually sit and spend the time to do it, but this is what she's paid to do. So this is what I have to do. So part of the blog that we're doing right now, one of the weekly blog posts that we're doing, yes, thank you, is about how to create an app. And so she's doing everything step by step. And it's the one that she's doing is about juggling. And so they're doing videos about juggling, then they're taking those videos and they're turning those videos, that content, into an app, and then putting it into the App Store, and then marketing it. So this is everything step by step that's going to be...
Right. You mean an app that teaches you how to juggle?
An app that teaches you...
With three videos. Android devices.
An app that
one
shows...
One iPhone and two Androids.
The YouTube content that teaches you how to juggle.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you juggle, by the way?
Okay. I'm not terribly coordinated, and I do not juggle.
Yeah, so I have a method for. A friend of mine taught me how to juggle. So
I've actually taken two, like, through work events, we had juggling classes. Still can't.
Getting back, sorry to interrupt.
we should have an episode about juggling.
Yeah.
Juggling for developers.
You mean to juggle your tasks? Juggling between your tasks.
Well, they know how to do that.
So getting back to marketing, there is all this social media marketing yada yada buzzword.
Yeah.
So okay. Make it more than a yada yada.
So, Facebook is really good for getting in touch with individuals, because you go on there to be with your friends, to be with your family. It's people follow brands, but it's individuals who follow brands. So when you're marketing on Facebook, it's better to speak to people as individuals than as companies. Companies are more likely to follow you on Twitter, as well as individuals. You get in individual conversations on Twitter, but you can do a lot of brand messaging on Twitter that I don't recommend doing on Facebook, because it won't get the same response. You have to focus the message as to the medium. You've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got LinkedIn, you've got groups on the LinkedIn, and then you can do influencer outreach and you can get your message across there. But you have to do it very carefully in order to not come across as overtly pushing. Anything that's pushing could get you kicked off of a group, could get you banned, and then you're not, you know, then it's no good for anybody.
So it's considered spam.
Yeah, you don't want to spam. Spamming is bad. I don't spam. I don't use any tools to fake grow any accounts. Everything is organic. Everything is a slow and you know, it's a very organized growth, but it's very organic. You can't, anything that you end up pushing, people see it. Okay, you've got 5 tweets and you've got 20,000 followers, unless you are Charlie Sheen, and it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, or Oprah, or, you know, if you're just some company,
then,
yeah, you bought those people, and I'm not going to follow you. As a matter of fact, I may just block you. So, you know, if you really want to be effective, you have to be genuine. Empire Avenue is a new, very interesting game on the networks now.
Are you on it, by the way, Bobby?
Hmm?
Are you on it?
You are, aren't you?
I don't think so.
No?
But
what entails what it is?
It's kind of a game. It's this ridiculous game that gives you
reputation.
Whatever. It's like, oof, how do you explain Empire Avenue? Okay, so you get a stock name. Mine is Abel, A-B-E-L. And then, you know, they give you a stock price. And then you go up and down in your index. And I'm in the marketing index. And people can buy your stock and sell your stock, and you get, you know, it's this whole, but it's a lot based on ego, but on the other hand, it's also got this really competitive angle to it. And if you are in marketing and you do what, like, I'm telling every major, like, let me just think of a couple that are in there right now. Brian Solis and, you know, and Gov 2.0 and HelloFold and just the realm of high-level people in marketing. Huh, there you go.
Yeah, oh, that's, I just, no,
you,
I just,
that,
I,
that's not.
I haven't. yeah, I haven't.
Ivan just
page,
opened up his that. Empire Avenue.
Yeah, I did this a few months ago, I think.
84, which is a kind of sad.
It used to be 50. I don't know why.
Well, okay. You're probably not doing. You've
I'm
only
doing
got three, and you're not even active on anything.
I'm not. So what are you?
Abel.
Abel.
Yeah.
Let's see. What? 48.
Yeah.
Is that good?
48's good.
Okay. Good.
48's okay.
Right,
you know, my clout's somewhere a little.
Give you now?
Clout's a little over. My clout's like at like 64 or something like this. It goes up and down depending on how active I am. Right now, I'm not so active. These are things. Okay, clout. Clout is something that you could use to see how influential or effective. And I'm using little like quote marks because I'm not 100% on these tools. I don't actually think that they will replace humans looking at the account and figuring out if this person is of value or not. But you need to measure somehow, and they give you a measurement. So I use them in my analytics and when I'm giving a report to clients. You were here, you're now there.
Right, so it's sort of supposed to give you your social power or something?
Yeah.
Presence.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so what were we?
Empire Avenue. So, like, this is another place that you can put a brand, but you have to think about who is your brand after. So I put AppsGeyser on here because I think that a lot of marketing people and a lot of small and medium businesses which are on here would be interested in AppsGeyser. And then we'd only put it on today. Don't expect to find it now. I'm not at him. And then you also spelled it wrong. Never mind. So it's, you know, we're experimenting with this. We do the blog, we do the newsletter. It's a whole bunch of different things. And then you test and you try out. And
so with the tools that you have, you mentioned newsletters, blogs, Twitter, Facebook,
Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah.
And then, of course, Blogger Outreach.
In terms of effort versus efficiency.
That's always the big debate. It's like TV advertising or advertising in print. There is no way to directly correlate what you're doing there to the results, because you don't know if this person saw it and then went and bought. You can look and see, okay, we were doing this before and we've got this after. Mm-hmm. And actually, I could show you, actually, there is kind of a way to directly correlate. I know that, say, example, at Anaboom. I was the head of marketing at Anaboom until recently. And when we started optimizing all of our different social networks, we started funneling them to the YouTube channel instead of to the website, because the website, we turned into a production studio. The website was no longer the focus for BC. Mm-hmm. The YouTube channel became the focus, so we funneled everybody to the YouTube channel. We doubled the amount of views and the revenue coming from the YouTube channel by optimizing the different mediums properly. Previously, they had people working on them, and they were on there every single day, just as we were on there every single day. But there's a difference between being there and doing it properly. And you can see the difference in the numbers. So actually, we can. I could show you in my slide share the actual difference, but it's huge.
We'll be happy to have a link to it, and we'll put it on the show notes.
Okay. So it's just really, there's three sides inside of the company presentation that show the difference between before and after, and you can see the difference. There's no question about when you're doing it and when you're doing it optimally. It's a huge difference. You have to understand how each platform works, what the individuals are looking for in each space, and then how you connect to them in the messaging. And you have to change each message accordingly. You have to give interesting content. It's everything. And it's all holistic. So you have something. You need to get people to the website. You need to get them to log in to get to the back-end system in order to use the product better. So you write a blog post, couple blog posts about it. You do a couple tweets that talk about something related. You post a few things onto the Facebook, and then you do the newsletter. And through all of these different channels, you're getting your message across. It's doing each campaign that gives the right message and focuses you on.
So what you're saying, they're all tools that using all of them is kind of an orchestra. You get You get the message out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Each one is a different instrument in the orchestra, and together they make the music. I like that.
Use it.
I will.
Maybe I will copyright for you.
So let's think of a developer or a small company that doesn't have anyone specifically for marketing. I mean, are there sides that you can think of that could say, I mean, you guys are not doing this right. I mean, you should talk to somebody. Or
that happens all the time.
How do they know?
Anybody who's doing a blog and the only thing in their blog is company info, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. Nobody's interested in your company info. Nobody's going to read your blog. You're giving people no reason to come back to your website. You're not giving interesting content. You're giving something of no value to anybody but you. And just because you find it interesting doesn't mean that anybody else will. It's not about you. It's about the customer. And until you start thinking that it's not about you, it's about the customer. That's the mind change that has to happen for companies to start giving the content they need and doing the marketing that they should in order to bring in customers. Because, like Kodak, for example, they make gargantuan plotters and scanners and printers for printing companies.
Kodak in Israel.
Yeah, but also just Kodak at large. 80% of the company is actually B2B and not B2C.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not about films anymore?
Oh, I don't know if you know.
It's all on camera.
So back in the day, what Jeffrey Hazlett did was he had his team make books on how to teach social media to the printing houses, because these small companies were switching, you know, they needed to become competitive in the new marketplace, and they didn't know how to do the marketing for it. They knew how to do offline marketing and not online. So they taught them how to do online marketing. They gave loads of PDFs and things that were considered standards at the time, and they gave really helpful information, and it wasn't about Kodak. And anybody could take it, even if somebody didn't have a Kodak scanner or printer. They, you know, if they had one from HP, they could download this and get the same info. They gave freely.
That's the essence behind content marketing, generating content which is relevant for the customer.
Yeah.
I think American Express have been...
Oh, they've been doing a lot of that. They do a lot of that. A lot of
Procter
business.
And Gamble do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this whole conversation started around Technology Disrupt, or was it something else?
Our debate?
Yes.
Yeah, well, do you want to open it?
Open it.
Yeah, I'm kind of... because I'm such a marketing ignorant, things like these TechCrunch Disrupt or any other contests around
debate on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, it just makes me sick, because it's like how come just a panel of so-called judges, like something that look really like American Idol contests.
It's exposure. It's exposure to a really wide audience.
I know.
If you win.
I know. You know. Some people even mix it and make your startup show up in the, you know, the Israeli Kochav Nolad. Instead of TechCrunch Disrupt, you haven't seen it in the last in the last season of Kochav Nolad, that two startup founders sang their...
Really? I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Oh wait! Kochav Nolad is the
American Idol.
The American Idol.
I did see that one. I came into my friend's house, saw somebody I know, and just went, "Oh dear God!"
Well,
yeah. And two entrepreneurs, and what's his name? Their investor. No.
Is it Pulver?
Yeah. He was there too with them. So
in Israel?
What people need to do in order to get above the, you know, above the noise.
Yeah.
They weren't doing enough.
So what I mean to say is that it's not about somebody that will approve or make your product be what it is. It's your users, your customers, that will make it what it is.
But how are users and customers going to find you?
Yeah,
you have this amazing product, okay, and it's a B2C product, let's say, and you need people to find out that it actually exists. But who are you? Okay, you don't have any connections necessarily. You don't.
But
maybe your own network is really small. Maybe you're shy, and that's
so
where marketing comes in.
Let me get back to what you said.
Okay.
Does that presentation or what you do on this yada contest, is that about your customer or is that about you?
It's okay for all of the TechCrunch and the TechCrunch Disrupt. And that is about the tech market, because it's and look, you work for a company. He already had an exit. He already had the connections. He already had the network. It was a lot easier for you guys to get started than somebody who didn't have any of that. I have a friend who right now is debating to go to do the MIT. There's an MIT thing for 3 months.
Like accelerator?
Boston Start. Tech Stars.
Yeah. Tech Stars at MIT.
Which is like an accelerator for startups.
So he's debating on doing this right now. And he's like, do I focus on getting out to the market? Because it's a lot of money to be there for 3 months. And, you know, what do I do? And I'm like, go. because the connections you end up making and the people who end up seeing you, this is a tight industry. And if you've got a good product, and it's a tight industry filled with early adopters and influencers, and if you've got a really good product and they are talking about it everywhere, Scoble and, you know, and so you mean, Arrington, and
that's the thing that it's, you know, all the people on the TechCrunch thing, and it's always the same people, and it's not your users.
No, but they get to the users. The users read them.
No.
Do you have any idea how many people read TechCrunch and how many people read? And it's a wide array. It's
but
not.
It's like if you're doing you know, a consumer.
If you're doing an astrology app, that's another. Astronomy is another client. Astronomy is another client. You're doing an astrology app.
You get
mentioned at TechCrunch. It's not going to raise your numbers.
But if you're
it's not where you need to be heard, but you need to get respect of the field. You've got to think about investors. You've got to think about people who are going to work for you. You've got to think about all of that end of things. And the technical end of that is where you need to get the respect from the community. And then you also need to go to the other end of things and appeal to people who are interested in astrology and get to them as well. You've got more than one market.
The thing that I was thinking is that it mostly disrupts you from building your product and from listening to your users because you're focused on going above the noise of with a startup of 2, 3, 10 people,
mm-hmm.
there's not much of a team there.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So I think regarding if you need to focus on your users, not the Arringtons.
But if you're going for funding?
If you're going for funding, that's another team.
Almost everybody. Everybody
you need
going to
go.
TechCrunch Disrupt is usually going for funding.
I'm not sure.
Or right before launching a product, and they need to get the buzz before launch.
That's right.
So if they're going for buzz before launch, where do you think you're going to get the buzz? Saludo, this is where we got started. Saludo example. Saludo was in TechCrunch. And then from TechCrunch they got into...
Let's not get into Saludo because it gets me furious. Ran knows what I'm thinking, so...
Okay, from there they got into the New York Times. And lots of people are using their product who would never have known about them before. And they need a wider range of people using the product. They can't just have tech people using it. And they got there because of one skip to the other.
And I go back to...
What your personal opinion is of their product is something else, but this is what they needed to be able to get to seed. They needed to seed. They needed to seed their product into multiple computers in order to create a genome or something. So to be able to create this, they need to be able to be literally everywhere in a wide array and large different base of computers.
I think that.
Why are you giving me this face?
I don't want to distract.
Yeah. That's probably why neither of us is using Windows.
No. Okay, fine. I have Windows. I like my little...
No, I like the guys in Solutre. I mean, we had them...
Yeah, yes.
We had lunch with them. We had them on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Right. And I spoke to them a few times.
Okay.
They're great.
Yeah.
I think TechCrunch Disrupt as well as other conferences... a way of getting to your customers. It's not the only way, and you shouldn't get distracted too much by them. But it's, you know, it's a viable way. Right?
By the way, I heard about other companies that succeeded to reach into a very high valuable brands to get in touch with them just because of that.
It opens
some doors.
It's a form of validation, and people feel more comfortable listening to you if they know that you've already been considered by this organization that is considered an expert in the area.
The thing is that with startups, sometimes it
It consumes too much resources.
It consumes too much of your resources that should be focused on your users rather than.
But on the other hand, if you're looking for growth and you're at the point where growth is of the essence, okay? Because look, you can sit and focus on your consumers and focus on your consumers and focus on your consumers and making the absolute best product in the entire world, and nobody knows it even exists.
But you know, there are tons of, you know. Yes. There are tons of ways to get in front of consumers.
Yes.
Which you can really focus a team or get a consultant.
to help bring you there.
But
just doing one, okay? Just doing social or pull marketing isn't enough. It has to be in combination with other things.
Yes, but doing just disrupt.
But people don't do just disrupt. Okay. I don't think that most companies do just disrupt. And I also think that not every company chooses to do something like disrupt. It's not the only way to go. It's one option.
Here's something that when you're doing that, the contest or the competition that you have there, mm-hmm. in order to get, you know, above the noise level is so high that you have to invest so much in being fancy to get above, while you could invest it on going directly to your
it's like
to your users,
doing advertising on television, because that's essentially what TechGuard Disrupt would be the equivalent of. Okay.
There you just invest money.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't have the money, you invest the time. You're getting to a huge base, and you're also getting really serious validation. Okay, you send this to somebody, and they already trust you more because you are even accepted into it. And then they'll trust you way more if you win. You're getting different levels of acceptance. And it's so hard for most companies to even get to the point where somebody will even consider them if nobody has given them any type of validation whatsoever. It's not something so simple.
Yeah, you have even, to have even getting into disrupt and winning it is not as simple either.
Of course, it's not simple. And I'm not saying it's simple. It's really not simple. You have to have a good product.
It's not magic.
It's not magic. But it's really hard to cross
You don't even have to have a good product.
Yes, I already know your opinion on that one. where was I? It's not simple to get to TechCrunch Disrupt. It's also not simple to get people who have never heard of you before and aren't early adopters to even so much as look at you. So if you need to get to a wide user base, you have to find a way to do that. Especially if you need a wide user base quickly, there's nothing that they could have done that would have been better. I can't think of an alternative. People wouldn't have done it through nobody would click on the ad for it. This isn't mm-hmm. something that you would just... You're not going to download something onto your computer and, oh, yeah, this is going to help my computer run better and start faster and blah, blah. Oh, I'm going to download that because, of course, I trust things that I download off of somewhere that I don't know anything about on the Internet. Or they were on TechCrunch Disrupt. This is what they do. They got covered in the New York Times and they got a positive review there as well. You know what? I'm going to try it. How would you recommend it? What do you think works here? Do you think MediaBuy was the way to go? I mean, you could spend as much money as you want. I don't think they would have had the same result.
To keep the debate on the right level, I gave my previous disclosures that I'm complete dumb on it. So.
I actually don't think that you are. I don't think that anybody is as dumb as they say they are on marketing. You live in this world. Mm. You are inundated with marketing all of the time. You have opinions on marketing. You are not dumb on marketing.
anyway,
even if you don't necessarily know how to do it or how to throw it in, you already have an opinion. You have an opinion.
Seems like.
So.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I couldn't, you know, other than, you know, flat out PR and getting covered. And that's what they did. They did a huge, that's basically massive PR. And they got covered. And with that coverage, they got validation. And with that validation, they gained trust. And that was the trust that they needed in order to grow. And that is, that was their specific need. For another company that I'm working with, that name hasn't been finalized yet, but it's going to be an ebook platform for kids between the ages of 2 and 6. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? We're already creating a content scheme, and we are before the mark. I mean, it's we're going to start doing content and having the Facebook, the Twitter, the blog, and the website started before we even launch. And we're going to be reaching out to mommies and daddies, mommy daddy bloggers, mommy daddy people on Twitter, etc. and so forth. Anybody who's got kids between the ages of 2 and 6, they'll be hearing from me or my team. And doing outreach before, you know, before we launch, so that they get early access and they can give us their opinions and we can do all of the changes that we might need to do ahead of time. And all of that long before the product will go out. And all of that is to create the buzz so that when we finally do have a product, people will talk about it and we'll be able to get the validation that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get it somehow.
The buzz.
Not the, just the buzz, the validation. The fact that other people have tried it. So I'm going to reach out to people on an individual level because they already know me and trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they like it, they'll choose to write about it. And because other people read and know them and trust them, they'll be more likely to try it because they already... You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is how it all works. It's all very interconnected, and a lot of it is started and based from relationships.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a great example about making a product which is techish,
mm-hmm,
to people or audience that
is... not necessarily techish.
He's not techish at all.
Right.
Okay, so
well,
all the mummies.
Well, if you're going to have an iPad, it's going to be moderately techish, but
yeah, but all the mummies of, you know, what do you say, 3 to 6 year old kids.
We're kind of techish.
that's how you reach them, but these, you know, they're not on Scoble or TechCrunch or whatever.
No,
so
they're not on Scoble or TechCrunch.
Okay, they're. On Martha Stewart.
They're on,
and,
you know, they're on Deuce, they're on Martha Stewart, they're on my girlfriend Stephanie Stephanie Gottlieb. There's Backpacking Dad. There's lots of places.
There is a channel to get into to get in front of these,
yeah,
which is not necessarily.
That's usually relationships that are already pre-built.
In order to get into these,
it's easier.
Yeah. So, what I'm saying is that only little part of our industry is the techish stuff.
Yeah.
And we do stuff for many other industries,
mm-hmm,
or zones. So, I think the. It's true that in order to get funding, there is only, you know, the little VCs, techish,
right,
clicker that you need to get in front of them.
Right.
But that's usually not that of a big problem.
Right. Well, it depends. For some people, it's a bigger problem than others.
Yeah, but, you know, if you, it's better in order to get there to know somebody that knows somebody that
right,
can give a good word about you,
right,
which is,
it
I
helps.
Think, better than
right, going
doing a big booms. Anyway,
I think we're good, yeah?
Yeah?
44 minutes.
How many minutes is it usually?
It's usually 30 or more.
Does that mean that we're cutting stuff out?
No, we're not cutting it.
Oh, you don't cut anything?
No. And it was a pretty lively...
It was fun. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.